This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host today.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And this is me, lucky number three, Zach Valenti.
Actually, it's me and Sarah that are lucky because we get to spend time with you, the amazing Zach Valenti. And welcome, everybody, to No Bad Ideas, the show where we try to turn the worst of humanity's ideas into what at least passes for the concepts behind good stories.
We try.
How are you guys both doing today? Are you excited to get some bad ideas?
Yeah. Not terrified this time.
Said with so much confidence and brio.
Ask again later.
I'm just sorry that I wasn't close enough to profit off of my own idea that I'll be bringing up after yours.
Well, that's very intriguing. Let's jump into my idea then so that
Please.
We can get to that. All right, so dear listeners, we're each going to read an article about a bad idea that somebody had at some point, and then we're going to have 5 minutes to try to turn each of these into the pitch for a good
story. The people with the article have seen it. The people who do not have the article have not. So this
Correct.
Is going to be a terrible, terrible surprise to Zach and I.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
Sigh.
Okay. So our first bad idea of the day comes to us from the Mercury News.
Okay.
And dear listeners, if you would like to read along at home, we're going to include an article, the link to the article, rather, in the episode description. The headline reads, mm-hmm. Police say psychic said 10-year-old girl was possessed by a demon.
Oh, boy.
Scammed mom out of $70,000.
I think I have encountered this idea before.
Well, let's dive into it in full.
Oof.
So, Somerset, Massachusetts, a woman claiming to be a psychic stole more than $70,000 from a client by telling the woman her 10-year-old daughter was possessed by a demon and she needed the money to banish the spirit. Police in Massachusetts.
As we all know, money banishes demons.
That's right. It's really the only way to do it.
That's how you do it.
Can you imagine having spiritual energy that ran off of money?
I mean,
I'm pretty sure Elon Musk does.
Tracy Milanovich, 37, of Somerset, is charged with obtaining property by trick, which is not a charge that I'd heard before, but that's pretty great, along with larceny and witness intimidation, Somerset police said in a statement on Thursday. Police started investigating December 17th when the alleged victim reported that she was tricked by Milanovich into handing over large sums of cash, along with household items, including towels and bedding, to battle the demon. Yeah, this is a pretty epic battle, you know, like psychic versus demon. The psychic only armed with towels, bedding, and $70,000 in cash.
But, I mean, to be fair, that sounds like it would be pretty heavy.
Yeah, so, right?
You know, it's a lot of cash.
The allegations date to November 15th, when the woman first went to Milanovich's business, Tracy Psychic Palm Reader, for a tarot card reading, police said in the report. Milanovich was arrested December 27th. She was arraigned in Fall River District Court this week and released on personal recognizance. A message seeking comment was left at her business. Somerset police are asking anyone who think they've been victimized by Milanovich to contact them. So, mother goes to her friendly neighborhood psychic. Friendly neighborhood psychic goes, holy crap, woman, your daughter is possessed by a demon.
I know, that escalated quickly from tarot to exorcist.
Seriously.
$70,000, please. It is the only way to battle this demon. tell me how we might be able to turn this into a compelling story. 5 minutes start now.
It's funny that this is the story. I was reading something yesterday. I was talking a little bit about Rasputin and how he sort of wormed his way into the court of the Tsar, the last Tsar, Nicholas II. And, you know, everyone hated him and he was like really obnoxious and obscene. Right. But he had this like ability, this uncanny ability to calm and like seemingly make better the Tsar's hemophiliac son.
And how do you turn away someone that seems to have magical, miraculous powers
over and as a parent who can like ease the pain of like your child? And so with this, like, there's definitely a version of it that where, you know, it's a grifter story. But I'm,
right, there's a version of this that is Parasite, but with psychics.
Right.
Parapsychics.
How can you resist?
I know. I mean, I should just stop talking. We've sold it already. no, and you get the people who, like, made the grudge to do it. That could be a whole thing. But I would be interested in a version of this where just, like, you are stuck with this person who you know is kind of conning you or
but they're doing it, they're doing the thing
they're doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing, and you know your child is struggling or has had trouble with something and they seem to have some sort of influence
and the doctors aren't helping, the teachers aren't helping, but like this person,
the
and
drugs
you know,
have never been able to help, but and, this person,
and you have a, you know, PhD in molecular biology, you understand that, you know, this person should not be able to cure your child's disease. And yet.
And yet it's happening. And so like that's the kind of story I would be interested in jumping into off of
Lively.
This. However, I'm curious what you're thinking about, Zach.
I mean, I'm all for that. I think that my mind sort of snapped into what I know about a boy and his family in rural India that I met who spent approximately the same amount of money, which in that economy is
goes quite farther. So,
yeah, indeed. It's like over a year's worth of, you know, it's like multiple years worth of salary towards faith healers to deal with mental illness. That is like not uncommon in other parts of the world where
absolutely
there's a lot of stigma and these sorts of things. So I don't know, that's sort of where my mind went, is like that kind of a family drama where there's like
there's a sick child and maybe there are other siblings and how are they making it work, and like how reputable or how effective is this faith healer?
Right, let me ask you something. Is it a single parent? Is it two parents? If it's more than one parent, are both parents on a similar trajectory? Is one more resistant than the other?
I would say if they're both parents, one is very skeptical and the other one is sort of the believer.
So it's Mulder and Scully finally have a kid.
Yeah.
And they seem to find that there is someone that can really help them with something that their kid is struggling with through seemingly metaphysical powers.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I like it. We have a good dynamic going on here.
Yeah. That's the premise. And so like what's at stake isn't just, you know, their kid, it's their relationship.
Right.
And you know, how they see the world ultimately.
And let me ask you this. Does the movie come down on one side or another? Like, is there a point where it is revealed, oh no, this person actually is an angel, or is it kind of kept ambiguous through the end of the film?
It depends on the focus is, right? Because if the focus is like, you know, you are a parent who has a PhD in molecular biology, but need to sort of accept that there are more things in heaven and earth than can be found, etc., then I think you do need to come down on a side. Right? Or at least seem to.
Sure.
Like this person needs to have their belief challenged, and then whether or not we know, they need to make a decision.
I see.
If it's about Mulder and Scully and just sort of how are they going to move forward as a couple and as a family with their sick child, then I don't think you need to.
Okay, I see. Very good, very good. And three, two, one. Sorry, it was just such a natural stopping point right there. It was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna. I was like, what point can I start in the 5 seconds that are remaining?
Oh, well.
But no, that's very cool. I really, really dig that Rasputin,
family drama, yeah.
Sort of analog there, Sarah. And like that goes to a really, really interesting place. And I would be fascinated.
Yeah, I don't quite know like how it escalates and how it resolves.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, they're able to extricate themselves from the influence of this person or not.
It would be interesting to figure out what the person is. Like, you know, are they a psychic? Are they sort
a medium,
of a new age?
Like a yogi of, kind of a person.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, sort of a more traditional, at least traditional from the Western perspective, like exorcist kind of a preacher kind of a person.
But no, but I think that would be fascinating.
I did too.
I am also fascinated by what Zach is going to unleash upon us.
After the break.
More of that evil laughter coming up very shortly.
Hello, dear listeners. Zach Valenti jumping in with a really quick message just for you. Maybe you've listened to Wolf 359 or one of the many other audio fiction programs wafting around the internet these days. Maybe while listening to one of those, you've been thinking, I should do that one day. Well, Gabrielle, Sarah, and I happen to agree with you, and we've got your back with our debut online course, Audio Fiction 101. We spent over 5 months distilling everything that we learned, making Wolf 359, Time Bombs, 0 Hours, and more. It's the ultimate compendium of all of the things that we wish we knew before we got started. How to write, direct, act, edit, and more. You can check out sample lessons and buy the course for yourself at audiofiction101.com. But wait, there's more. The over 3-hour video course normally sells for $75, but if you use promo code NOBADIDEAS, all caps, no space, you'll get $15 off just for being awesome. One more time, that's audiofiction101.com for our favorite audio fiction learning resource. All right, and now back to No Bad Ideas. Everybody, welcome back for your second helping of terrible ideas.
Much anticipated.
Oh, yeah. And this time, Reuters has got us.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Link in the show notes for anybody who wants to see the mugshots of the Colorado bank robber.
Colorado.
Throws cash in the air.
This is Florida's job.
Shouting, quote, Merry Christmas.
Whoa.
That's right. The Santa robber.
Oh, no.
Denver, a man with a white beard was being held on a $10,000 bond for allegedly robbing a Colorado bank and throwing the stolen cash into the air while shouting Merry Christmas to passersby, police and local media reported on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
David Wayne Oliver, 65, was arrested at a nearby Starbucks coffee shop after he held up the Academy Bank.
That's the best part.
In Colorado Springs on Monday afternoon, according to a police report.
Wow.
Police said the suspect had, quote, threatened the use of a weapon and left the bank with an undisclosed amount of cash. A police spokesperson could not immediately be reached for comment, but Colorado Springs television station KKTV reported that eyewitness Dion Pascal recounted Oliver stepped outside the bank and tossed money, quote, all over the place. He started throwing money out of the bag before yelling Merry Christmas on TV, the TV station quoted Pascal as saying. Pascal said bystanders retrieved some of the money and returned it to the bank as Oliver walked to the Starbucks, sat down, and appeared to be waiting for police to arrest him, KKTV reported.
Just, you know, like you want to have a latte and just kind of like...
Yeah, just, I mean, they'll be along, right?
Yeah.
Someone pressed a panic button.
I can't imagine that everyone returned the money. But the Denver Post quoted police as saying thousands of dollars remained unaccounted for, adding that there was no indication Oliver used a weapon in the heist. Oliver, pictured in the mugshots with gray and white hair and a full white beard, is being held at the El Paso County Jail and is set to make his first court appearance on Thursday, jailed records showed. It was not clear from the records if he has an attorney.
All right. Okay.
5 minutes on this Santa-themed bank robber.
Hey, at least, you know, he's like paying it forward,
right? No, this feels like if Santa had to rob a bank.
This is kind of how he would do
it. This is how he would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like Santa could need to rob a bank for
all
any number of
manner
reasons.
Of reasons. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, there are goblins that live up in the North Pole, too.
And like, damn elf union keeps ratcheting up the rates. I can't afford healthcare for all these things.
This is a very concerning portrait of Santa, especially if he thinks so.
I was going in like, there are some nefarious forces that are like forcing him into this, and he doesn't want to. But you have gone in a different direction. Yeah, now capitalism
isn't what it was.
Is the enemy. As it so often is.
Okay, so basically what I'm hearing is... This is Miracle on 34th Street.
Sure.
But now...
Bonnie and Clyde.
But Bonnie and Clyde it up a notch. You know, somebody like robs a bank dressed as Santa, but then his lawyer gets in and his lawyer is kind of this like jaded, you know, kind of cynical young guy. And he's kind of like...
Or like this overstressed public defender who needs to get this over with.
Yeah, okay.
In
like
3.5 seconds.
I like that better.
Was idealistic. To get into the job, but is so beaten down,
right, exactly,
and so overworked.
And, you know, so he kind of like gets in and is kind of going, all right, you know, tell me what your story is. You what, dressed up as Santa and robbed the bank? And the guy's kind of going like, no.
I am
Santa.
And then the lawyer has to deal with it.
That's right.
Wow. And is it like...
It's another one of these kind of like, much like our first story, another one of these kinds of like, wait, hang on a second. Is this a crazy guy that thinks that he's Santa? He's not actually Santa.
But he can do things.
He can do things every now and then.
Yeah, that you know, make you wonder.
Right. No, he's kind of, you know, like, this is happening in Colorado, right?
Yes.
So, you know, they have him in, like in the jail somewhere where he can't see outside. And, you know, he sort of like tells the lawyer guy kind of like, when you go outside, it's going to be snowing. And the lawyer guy is kind of going like no.
It's forecast
to be.
Yeah,
it says it's going to be hot. But then he gets outside and it is snowing. And it's kind of like, oh, my God, wait a minute. Was that a lucky guess? Was he seeing something that I wasn't seeing? Or
can he make it snow?
I like this.
He's driving down and like. Thinks he sees a reindeer by the side of the road. Can't be sure. Probably a regular deer.
No.
But its nose was just lit up.
Just a little bit.
Was it a glint in my eye?
Was it the taillights?
I'm not sleeping enough. I need to.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, so like, let's talk though about kind of, so what is Santa doing? Like, is this all a ploy to kind of try to Scrooge this guy and kind of trick him into becoming kind of like give him some of that idealism back? Like, is it all for this lawyer's benefit? Does Santa actually need the money for something?
I can't imagine that Santa needs the money.
Yeah.
I think it's either sort of a Scrooge situation or it's a Santa not interfacing with the modern world correctly.
I do love though that he seems to not have kept the money, that he just kind of like tossed it up.
Yeah, threw it.
You know,
yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. No, like in the world where this isn't Santa, it's, you know, this is the nicest way someone could possibly go about getting back to jail because they want to be arrested.
Right. Because they've been institutionalized.
They've been institutionalized and, you know, they don't feel secure. They don't know who they are outside.
Yeah, yeah. They you know, went in when they were 19, spent 40 years in there, and now it's like, what am I doing out here? Like, you know, like, yeah. Let's stop.
Or pretending. It's
like the,
yeah.
The most direct way that they can get the, like, person in their trailer park's, like, you know, mother's, whatever, you know, medical bills paid.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just knowing, like, oh, they, like, work at the Starbucks and, like, they need this money.
A handoff. Cool.
Right.
Cool.
But, like, you know, it wasn't, like, planned. It was just, like, this is how I do a good deed.
If we are going the direction of the, this is actually Santa, and there is an element of the supernatural, it could be that, you know, he tosses up the money. And all the people that sort of grab it, you know, like, there's something to, and that's almost like a good place thing of kind of like, right. Do they return it? Do they not?
Yeah.
And there is something in the balance there. And kind of like all the people that do return it, they get kind of lucky
happen.
Breaks
yeah.
in these ways. They get, you know, that promotion at work.
Is that it?
Yeah. And so then the lawyer has to go and investigate stuff. And
eventually he discovers the spirit of Christmas. Hallmark, call us.
Call us. We could write the heck out of this.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it would be. Well, that was I'm excited where this went. I did not expect real Santa to be robbing banks. Maybe he had a bad break with Mrs. Claus up
yeah.
north.
That's a different kind of Santa. And I've blanked on the actor's name, but the guy in Bad Santa.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Right. Thank you.
What was that? They did a first and second one, right?
They did. Yeah. They did too, I think, a second.
Bad Santa 3.
Yeah.
The bank robbery.
look for the trilogy.
We rob banks.
The full box set will be out
Lord.
For Christmas. No, but Zach, thank you. That was a delightful bad idea.
My pleasure. And we'll be back soon with more bad ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.